room where Cate Blanchett is 50 and teaching the kids how to dance, and
oh my God.
Brad Pitt is 30.
Where he steps into focus. Oh my God.
That shot was, and it's funny because I've had.
That would have taken, like, I wouldn't be surprised if that took, like, a year, just that
no,
shot.
No, no, here's the thing.
Did they just not
I got,
totally CGI his head? Because he's much younger in that shot. That
there's a bunch of tricks at work in that shot. But that shot was the one that they sort of hung their hat on. In terms, from as far as I know, I had four people email me their accounts of working on Benjamin Button, and two of them had information with regards to that shot. Sean Wallach pointing out the most interesting shit, which we'll get to in a little while. But in terms of the problem is twofold. One, you have to buy that this guy that you've seen the whole movie is now younger than he was. Secondly, the guy in question is someone that you intimately recognize from seeing him in 75 movies. If it wasn't Brad Pitt, if it was some other guy, you wouldn't know intimate things about his face that you do about Brad Pitt. Like, one of the things we'll talk about in a little while is that Brad Pitt's eyelid, and Sean is grinning now that he's listening to this, his eyelids are asymmetrical. The problem is that one of them looks different than the other. There's a weird crease on his left side eyelid, right eyelid, that is just, it's just weird. It's not wrong, and clearly it doesn't make him less attractive, but it's something that he has on his face that we are used to seeing, and if it's not there exactly right, we reject it when we see it. Like, that's, I have a greater understanding now, because although I've done a lot of effects shit, I've never done CG head replacement. I have a greater understanding, literally based on the conversations I've had with guys with regards to Benjamin Button in the last day, than I did even previously, and I just saw Tron a month ago. Even since seeing Tron, I now have a greater understanding of Tron, because part of the problem with Clue is that he doesn't look right. Part of the problem with Clue is that he doesn't look right, and he's Jeff Bridges, and you're very, very used to seeing Jeff Bridges.
That's what people talked about. That's the interesting thing, because a lot of people were talking about, you know, the challenge with Tron Legacy as opposed to Digital Domain is no one knows what an old Brad Pitt looks like, but everyone knows what a young Brad Pitt looks like. I'm like, or what a young Jeff Bridges looks like. And I'm like, they had young Brad Pitt in, you know, but Benjamin Button 2, and there was no, but he wasn't, that wasn't a full replacement like it is in Tron, so.
Right.
Teague?
Yes.
It's cold in here.
Oh, would you like me to turn up the AC for
just
you?
Just put on a jacket. I've got it here.
No.
Put on Dorkman's jacket.
No, no.
I want to see you wear that shit.
You realize half the people listening are in, like, snow.
Yeah. Yeah, we
have, like, two listeners in Norway.
We're at 61 degrees, and we're like, brrr. They're like,
no,
fuck,
it's like
you.
70 degrees.
What is this wee bullshit?
Yeah. But,
I'll turn off the AC for Anthony.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
74 degrees.
It's 74 degrees? No, turn it back on. That's horseshit.
Oh, man.
That's ridiculous.
So, hey, look at that. Technology. Flying through space.
I'm handing Anthony a down in front hoodie.
There we go.
Nice. Thank you.
I want to talk about one thing that we haven't talked about.
It's too big for you.
The amazing soundtrack.
Dude, seriously?
Good.
The score? I think it was a French composer.
I think it's I think they say Alexander differently. Unless I heard Fincher say it differently. Alexander Desplat.
Wow, that full moon looks so real.
Alexander Desplat. I think it was one of the best soundtracks I've heard in a long time, to be honest.
Okay, here we go. There's a
here
you
we
know,
go.
I'm saying right here. She says, "I'm so glad we didn't find each other when we were 26. They knew each other when they were 26." She's basically saying it's good that you said no.
It's a good thing you got younger and hotter while I got older.
When I propositioned you, I'm glad that you said no. That's what she's basically saying. So it's showing her growth and also that Benjamin, you know, knew what was going on.
I love the music of this movie, and it's very easy. I have two things to talk about right now. It's very easy to not notice when music works. It's also very easy to not know when editing works. We usually only refer to this when a movie it feels longer than it is. But let me ask you this. Does this feel like we're 2 hours into a movie right now?
Yes.
We're 2 hours into a movie.
Yes.
Only because we can't, I can't hear the movie.
But. Yeah, I think we were watching. I remember watching this movie and feeling the length. I don't feel it right now because we've been talking and
you're half drunk,
or whatever. And I think I'm way more than half at this point. I've had like a bottle and a half by this point of wine. But, I watching this movie, I felt the length a lot more than I do at this moment.
That's the problem with Brad Pitt, Dorkman. That's the problem with Brad Pitt.
You feel the length?
I feel the length all the time. Anyway.
I wouldn't call that a problem.
Anyway, well, talking about the length, I feel about an hour and a half right now. I don't feel 2 hours. And it's
I think this is actually Brad Pitt, where he was at when this was shot. I don't think this is effects right now. I think it's later.
Shadaron, do you know?
Super young. I think there's effects.
I think this is right where he's at right
because
now.
I think this is makeup.
Brad Pitt got with.
This might be makeup. This might be some
makeup. Well, makeup.
But
yeah,
it's not digital. Right, it's not digital. Well, I mean, effects.
Brad Pitt got with Angelina Jolie and had a bunch of kids and got old. So I'm pretty sure there's some kind of thing going on.
Right on.
I don't think it's just makeup, but I might be wrong.
The music is overlooked. Although I'm really happy that, first of all, I think I would like David Fincher's taste in music if I just knew the guy. Because Fight Club is Chemical Brothers. Social Network is
Dust Brothers.
Oh, Dust Brothers. Oh my god. Yes, Dust Brothers, not Chemical Brothers. And Social Network is, let's just say it. It's Nine Inch Nails. It's Nine Inch Nails. That's who did the score for. It's not Trent Reznor. It's Nine Inch Nails. And Atticus Ross. But Nine Inch Nails. I love that shit. This year has been really weird for me in terms of all-star movies where, all right, Aaron Sorkin wrote a movie that David Fincher directed with Trent Reznor doing the score. I'm down. And then additionally, they remade Tron, Olivia Wilde is in it, and Daft Punk did the score. It's like, what the fuck, dude? I love it. Fuck everyone. But fuck Hans Zimmer the most. 2010 was a great year.
What? I think Fincher had talked about the music for this, and he said he likes to compose his movies almost with pre-existing music.
Is he heavy on temp tracks?
I don't know if they did that for the whole thing, but they, you know, he had the composer go and like kind of come up with these themes before the movie was even shot. Fincher.
Okay.
Shadaron in the chat room.
On this particular movie, I don't know if that's entirely
in the chat room. Shadaron, who's one of my one of my insiders, who was at Lola at the time doing youngening effects, says that Brad Pitt getting younger starts about here.
Okay.
Not every shot. Sometimes it works with makeup. Sometimes it's whatever. But he starts getting fixes at this point and gets younger from here on out. So this is Brad Pitt at age 42, 45.
Good makeup.
That looks like Brad Pitt to me.
Yeah.
Hasn't quite set in yet.
Uh-oh. Have we run out?
Oh, shit.
We made it 2 hours and 7 minutes, and we've run dry. Anthony, say something.
Well, now I'm watching. Don't sell the house.
Brad Pitt looks older than that.
I don't know.
Did you guys see Babel?
Now?
I did.
Wow, I forgot. Babel. That was a movie.
Did you see Babel?
That is a movie. Is that the same movie as Syriana, or is that a different movie?
It's the same fucking movie, basically.
I thought Babel had some good scenes, and that was about it.
It was with Cate Blanchett as well.
And Brad Pitt.
And Brad Pitt.
They were both supposed to be together in the fountain before it fell apart the first time.
Did either of you like Babel?
Yeah.
I didn't see
it.
All
right.
I forgot that was a movie.
I hated Babel.
I didn't want to see it
again. Hated Syriana. I hated Babel. Those aren't movies.
All right. I used to ask these questions in the first half hour, and then Ryan Weber gave me shit about it, so I'll stop. But now that we're into hour two, I want to ask this question. And I'll go around the room. Chad, you like Benjamin Button?
Yes.
Why?
Very
generic, abstract question.
If I was going to go back to this, I can't even tell you what other movies were made this year. In 2008.
Slumdog, for one.
Yeah, see, I can't tell you what other movies were made that year.
King of Kong. That's all I know from 2008.
Is that really a movie? I mean, documentaries, movies? Anyway.
Wow.
Way more. There's something about this movie that makes it a movie. It feels like a movie, and I think that's one thing that I don't know if that's what people complain about now when they say there's no good movies anymore. But it feels very different. You know, like when you watch a movie that you know is a movie, like
I would categorize
Indiana Jones
as
movie,
a film out of pure bullshit made up semantics. This feels like a film to me. This feels like a
right. Watching this, I don't feel like I'm gonna go see the Dilemma. You
right.
know,
yeah.
It's like this feels like a movie that's been crafted and put together and is a work of art as a whole. And if the story works, then that's all right. Cool.
Yeah.
Extra bonus.
I'm with you. So you like it just because it feels right? Is that why?
I mean, at least on the technical level, sure. Story point of view, though, I just really got into it. I felt for his character, and you know, by the end of the movie, I felt like he had a complete arc. And I wasn't pissed off. I mean.
Interesting. So you're generally a hater, but this didn't make you hate.
No.
Chad, you're a sweetheart.
I know.
Single, everybody. He's single.
Thank you.
Michael Dorkman Scott. You like this movie. Sort of.
I'm still confused, conflicted on how I feel about it. I think it's a really...
What are the pros and cons?
I think it's a really well-made technical movie. A technically well-made movie. It's you know, there's really pretty much nothing you can fault on that level. I think just subjectively, I kind of don't necessarily connect to the characters, and so that makes the movie feel long to me.
Any of them or all of them?
Primarily Benjamin, I guess.
You don't connect to Benjamin.
Because he's the main character.
Is there something that he could do? Or is it just the way it is in this film with that actor?
Maybe it's just, you know, like you guys were just talking about, he's kind of one note the whole time. And it's a good note. It's not one that I can really complain much about, but it's kind of like, you know, he's just an observer.
You're right. He doesn't have an arc.
Yeah.
For example, in a David Fincher film, Edward Norton in Fight Club has an arc.
Tremendous, yeah.
And Brad Pitt in Benjamin Button.
They both kind of have arcs.
Yeah, even Brad Pitt in Fight Club has an arc.
Technically, yeah, yeah.
He starts out very sort of easy, very, very like palatable as a guy, as an anarchist. He's a very palatable anarchist.
Yeah.
And then he becomes insane. He becomes Tyler Durden.
Yeah.
And he gets shot.
And then he gets shot in the face.
Sort of. But, yeah, it's...
Is it just a problem? Like, if this movie was 100 minutes long, but you didn't identify, would it be as much of a problem with you?
Maybe not. Maybe not. That's the thing. I really feel...
This movie thinks it's important, and you don't.
I feel the length of this movie more than I would like to. I think it's a really well-made movie. I can appreciate it on any number of technical levels, and I can't hate on it really well, but it just... I feel the length.
How did you feel about Zodiac and Social Network?
I loved Zodiac.
I also felt the length on Zodiac. I did not so much on Social Network. I really enjoyed Social Network.
Is that just because they're talking fast?
They don't do that beyond the first scene, though. That like the first scene is pure Aaron Sorkin, and then after that, it's like it's okay. You know Aaron Sorkin's writing this, and now
look
we're
good.
Look
at Brian Finifter walk in like he ain't bought this shit. Come here.
Anyway,
Brian, how do you feel about Benjamin Button?
Quick.
How long have I been away? And it's several hours now.
Yeah, and we're still watching it. That's what I was just saying. You feel the length of this movie. That's what I was just saying.
I went to the other apartment, hung out for a while, and then ran a couple of errands and hung out for a while. And now I'm back, and you guys are still going.
Anyway, Dorkman.
I was pretty much done, quite honestly.
Anthony,
I don't know what more
you
I
like
can
this
say.
Movie, right?
I like it, yes. That's where it stops. I don't love it. I don't hate it.
You find it to be watchable.
It's
same.
Watchable once, I guess second time for commentary.
And like, because when do you have time to sit down for 3 hours and watch
a
movie again?
Exactly. I could watch Titanic again. I wouldn't mind. I mean, I don't love that movie, but I would watch that again. This, I don't really care for so much. It doesn't. There's nothing about the movie like that's particularly special to me where I go, I want to watch all of that again. Nothing grabs me like the way, like, let's say a Scorsese movie would grab me and I have to watch it a second, a third, a fourth time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no replay value, I guess, for me in this film. It's just, it was neat. The visual effects are really cool, and it stops there for me.
Did all three of you see Zodiac?
I didn't see Zodiac.
You didn't see Zodiac?
I did.
Yes.
Chad, all right.
I don't remember it very well, though.
Try not to remember.
Okay, because I love
Zodiac.
He
was dead the whole time!
I really love Zodiac. And this is... Basically, comparing this to Zodiac is the most fair comparison you can make in terms of looking at a director's body of work. Because he basically shot this and Zodiac in the same 10-month period. Like, he was the same age in his 40s when he shot both of these movies.
Fincher overlapped these by several weeks, I think.
Right. Same.
How is that fucking possible?
Dude, he's David Fincher, man.
I had editor friends on both movies, and they literally just went from one to the next without having finished Zodiac yet. He stopped Benjamin Button for 2 weeks. Like, he literally said one day, this has got to stop. Done. I'm going home for 2 weeks. Because he just was so burnt out, like, towards the beginning. You just get worn out. I can't imagine doing it.
Anyway, I really enjoy Zodiac. But Zodiac and this... For being a director making two films successively, are so different. The Benjamin Button is a life-spanning fictional story, heavy on visual effects, in a whimsical universe. And then Zodiac is this hardcore, hard-bitten detective drama where nothing is you never learn anything. And spoiler for Zodiac, you really never learn anything in Zodiac. Like, it's a 3-hour movie wherein characters pore over details and eventually get to absolutely nowhere by the end of it. But I really enjoy watching that, and I think I prefer Zodiac to this, but they both feel like they work of the same director in terms of they're very confident. They're both very there's resolution with both of them, where they're both like, this is the movie, and there's not, I feel like I have to do this to make you like it. There's none of that. It's bizarre, because I wouldn't compare David Fincher to Stanley Kubrick in that way in any other context, in any other conversation, but in that one way, in terms of overall confidence with the movie that he's making, I think there's a parallel to be drawn between, guess what, this is the movie, and I'm absolutely confident that you're going to enjoy watching it, as opposed to, okay, to go to the far extreme, Tony Scott, or something like that, where it's like, I don't know if you're like it, cut, like Domino, right? This movie feels very relaxed and very, very, very strong in its choices. And I don't know if it's literally just a manifestation of that trait of a director of going, I think you're going to like this, so I'm going to let you enjoy the way this plays out. And that's how you get a 2-hour and 45-minute movie. Or not. But something about this movie and Zodiac, there's a complacency to it and a worldliness to it that I don't detect in other movies, at least not this much. I wonder if that's literally a result of the director just saying, no, it's going to be a 3-hour movie, so fuck you. But I didn't feel that in King Kong, and that was a 3-hour movie, so I have no idea.
Did you like King Kong?
I did like King Kong.
King Kong is another one where I'm totally like, you could have cut an hour out of this movie, probably.
But yeah, same thing, though, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, I love this world. It feels like a book. I could have spent... I can watch Benjamin Button or King Kong for 10 minutes and feel like I've seen both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just the presence of the director and his style or flavor.
I'm not huge on the length of King Kong. Like when people were talking about early news was like, oh, King Kong's gonna come in at 3 hours, and everyone's like, oh shit, that's too long. We don't need a King Kong that long. I was like, I can totally see how you can make a 3-hour King Kong movie. Yeah, absolutely. And then I watched it and I'm like, okay, that I can see how you make a 3-hour King Kong movie, but that's not the one that I was thinking of. So, yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore, but...
So you don't feel like this movie could have been cut down?
I don't.
You love every minute of it so much that it all fuses together in perfect harmonious...
Approaching this as someone who has done editing
mm-hmm.
professionally a couple of times. A lot, but professionally a couple of times.
I think we've all done that.
Yeah. I look at this movie and go... I could have lost whole stories out of this movie, but I could not have cut any story.
I could not have cut any story
into more finite chunks than it was.
What was taken out from this movie? There were a lot of scenes taken out from this movie.
As it is, I think this is an exercise in tremendously beautiful editing, because every story feels real and plays out beautifully, but there's like 10 stories in Benjamin Button, and I could have gone with 8, or something like that, where it's not like I would have trimmed the Tilda Swinton subplot. Yeah. I could have removed it, and you wouldn't have missed it because you didn't know it was there, but I couldn't have made it any shorter and have the same sort of resonance, I guess.
I think you could have.
Really? Is there a subplot that stands out to you as being too big?
It's not that. It's that
I'm sorry, real quick. If there's any that I could have lost, it would have been the black guy, the like African.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right. I know. Yeah. But like he was like a midget, and he identified with him as a child because he was a midget.
Right.
And that was that whole. I could have lost that. I think.
But that was the first time he really gets out of the house and is shown the world.
But all of them
by
have
anybody.
All of them have,
all of them have
there.
A point. Yeah. I would agree.
But I think that's why it feels like a book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you mad they didn't show the final lightning strike? Because they only show one.
Six, yeah.
I hate everybody. No, I wasn't mad about that. Although I love
they
that
did
device.
Shoot it.
I'm not. I don't hate the narration in this film, but I could have done with less of it, and tell the story more with pictures than with narration.
On paper, I agree with you, but I like the way this turned out.
For me, I think that would have made a shorter movie and been more artsy and cool, and I don't know. Trust the audience more instead of telling them every little thing.
Right.
That, for me, that's me.
Anthony, let me ask you this. And Zarban posed this question in the chat room, but I want to hear your thoughts on this. In the chat room, Zarban says, I think this movie should have started in the middle, flashback briefly, moved on. This is a romance, and what other romance starts with the birth of the main character? In terms of, like, cutting Act 1, do you think that would have applied to this movie?
Aviator starts with...
I like that it starts with his birth and all that. I like going through all that. I just wish that it didn't hover on things so much. I don't feel like
it lingers.
Needed to.
This movie is lingering, brought to huge scale.
Right. And I don't think it needed to do that, and I would have been more compelled by the story and the characters had it not done that.
Let me ask you this, all three of you, in order. Chad, when you haven't seen Benjamin Button in a while, what do you remember about it?
Ooh. The flavor. Like, literally, this first thing, just the way it was shot, is just the way it feels. It has a very specific feel that is unique in itself.
It's a slow-paced, period drama.
It's hard to describe. No, because I wouldn't describe Forrest Gump the same.
Well, this is a period
piece. Or any
piece.
Real period piece. I think every movie kind of has its own feel, but this one is definitely... something about it.
How long is Forrest Gump?
Forrest Gump is like 2.5 hours.
I didn't feel the time in Forrest Gump at all. And I enjoyed
Well, there was
that.
A lot of explosions in Forrest Gump.
I guess that's true. There was less narration in Forrest Gump. There was some gunfire in this. How much more explosions were there in Forrest Gump?
There's the Vietnam sequence.
Right, and then what else? That's
There's
it.
Ping pong. Have you ever played
See,
ping pong?
I guess
hardcore?
He was doing things exciting with his life, and it was so engaging because every fucking thing he did, it was engaging. It was
he
was dynamic.
With Lyndon Johnson.
He was
JFK,
right.
He
was a football player. He kept and he was doing all these amazing things for being like a fucking idiot. He was amazing and did so much with his life, whereas this is kind of the opposite, where it's just his life. And that's
interesting.
You know.
Okay.
So I guess it wasn't.
But
so
he was kind of retardedly falling backwards through his life.
It's weird.
Situation.
Because Forrest Gump, the gimmick of Forrest Gump is that he's a retarded guy who ends up in these amazing situations.
Right.
The gimmick of Benjamin Button, he starts with like alopecia and it wears off. He starts old and ends young.
Right.
But his life is pretty straightforward. Aside
right.
from the fact that it's 100 years ago.
Right.
Or 70 years ago.
Right.
Interesting. Darkman, when you think about Benjamin Button, having not watched it in a while, what do you remember about it?
I guess I have to take back what I said earlier about not having as... I think of it as a Fincher movie, you know? I think of it as having a kind of green hue and being lit a very specific way, and I think about the general overall plot, certain moments of it, the tugboat sequence, him as a kid, like a 10-year-old kid with Alzheimer's. I just kind of my general feeling of it is a well-made movie that I don't remember every little moment of because a lot of it is not...
You're not very gripped by this movie, are you?
I think it's to an extent supposed to be. You're supposed to... I think you're word for it is very very apt, actually. You're supposed to get a flavor for this character's life, you know. Right now, what we're going through, none of these shots are necessarily important, but you get an idea.
Speaking of Babel, isn't the director of Babel directed this whole thing?
Really?
He actually...
No, this was Tarsem.
Was it Tarsem?
Yeah, okay. This was Tarsem.
In the chat, Ryan Weber, who, Darkman, you know, because you fought him with lightsabers on the internet.
Twice.
Says, this movie is a downer. It's serious business top to bottom. Do you see that as a flaw?
No.
This movie doesn't have a sense of humor about itself, and that's true.
There's a few moments of humor, but it's true. There could be a little bit more humor.
Lot more humor.
But yeah, Benjamin, it's interesting.
Benjamin
Again,
Button is kind of a witless character.
Benjamin being kind of one note, it's kind of like he's okay with death, so he doesn't get really depressed.
He's a plastic
guy. So I'm not sure about down.